Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Last year, 61 companies in the UK took part in a trial of a four-day work week. The results are in. How many of those workplaces have decided to stick with it?
Hello, I'm Jeff Lloyd, and this is Reasons Revisited. It's a weekly, fun-sized Reasons to be Cheerful. We dig back into our five-year audio archive and brief you on a big idea that's having a moment.
In this final episode of our Reasons Revisited mini-series, we are talking about the four-day week. Back in February, the results of the world's largest four-day week pilot were published. 61 companies from a range of sectors took part, from a brewery to a bank to a fish and chip shop, in the six-month trial. There are a lot of different models for a four-day week, but at its heart, it means giving employees 100% of pay for 80% of the hours, in exchange for a commitment of 100% productivity. Each participating company designed a policy that worked for them, whether that was Fridays off or moving to an average of 32-hour weeks across a year. But why now? The idea of a four-day week has become more popular in recent years. Building on positive research and societal shifts driven by the pandemic, working time reduction is seen as an enticing prospect. Not only is it hoped it'll improve rates of employee well-being and retention levels, but that it'll also help tackle Britain's productivity crisis. The four-day week is starting to look like a realistic alternative to current working patterns. Here's where we're starting from. The UK works some of the longest hours in Europe, and yet we are way less productive than our European counterparts. Research has also shown that working longer hours is a serious health hazard, and with millions of working days lost each year to stress, anxiety and burnout, something needs to change. Thankfully, a five-day working week isn't set in stone. Trade unions have fought for decent working hours for centuries, and it was only in the 20th century that a two-day weekend became commonplace. But how could workplaces reducing the number of days employees work actually increase productivity? Andrew Barnes was one of the first people to pilot a four-day week, and he is such a convert that he now dedicates his time to travelling the world, proselytising the merits of a shorter work week. This is Andrew telling us what he and his employees discovered when he ran a trial at their company in New Zealand back in 2018.
It started on a plane, and I read an article in The Economist that said that people were only productive for a couple of hours a day. And I thought, was that happening in my business? And so I literally started out with an experiment. And I said to my staff, look, I've got this wild idea. I'll pay you for 5 days. You only have to work for four, provided I get the same level of productivity. And we trialed it for a couple of months. And what we found is that all our engagement scores went up by 40%, our stress levels dropped by 15%, and the productivity went up. And so I started to think, well, maybe there's a better way. And so we went permanent in the company on the four-day week in November 2018.
Give us the, to be simplistic, give us the sort of elevator pitch.
It works on a very simple thesis. It's what we call the 180-100 rule. 100% pay, 80% of the time, provided you get 100% productivity. It's bottom-up driven, so staff opt into the scheme. So what you're really saying to them is you only have to find 45 minutes of additional productivity in each of the 4 days, so you can get a day off.
Let's talk about the general election here. Boris Johnson called it a crackpot plan. What do you think we should learn from that experience?
Every business, every director, every leader in the company, and my own leadership team thought I was nuts. You have to lead with the productivity side. And there is now enough evidence out there, the most recent being the Microsoft Japan trial, 39.9% improvement in productivity going to a 4-day week.
Wow.
You're saying to companies, this is an employee benefit that costs you absolutely nothing. And then you can move into the key social areas, which address health, education, your mental health, the environment, and gender pay. All of these things get addressed with the 4-day week. So you can then have a very informed discussion.
Talk to us about the climate emergency in this context.
Yeah, well, if you look across most countries, emissions from transport are one of the biggest single producers of carbon emissions. If you did in the United States, that would be the equivalent of taking 10.5 million cars off the road every year. But remember, what also happens is that you don't have as much congestion. So congestion produces an awful lot of carbon emissions. It's also, by the way, a big driver of stress.
What do people do with the rest of the time they have off, though?
Well, actually, interestingly, all the evidence suggests they do low carbon activities as well. Most people try and eventually spend more time with the family.
Yeah.
I have a chap in one of my offices, and he has a granddaughter. And what he does is he takes 2 afternoons off a week. So he walks home. He's getting fit. His granddaughter comes round and they do little chores together around the house. So again, low carbon footprint. At 5 o'clock, his daughter comes round and they have tea together. So that's giving a little bit of family cohesion. And when he tells the story, he cries. That's what this is about. Yeah. It is about basically changing people's lives, giving them something they can't buy. And that's so important. That's why they deliver the productivity, but it fundamentally changes the lives of families and communities.
The 180-100 rule that Andrew mentioned there, getting full pay, working fewer hours, but maintaining 100% productivity, must at one point have seemed like an impossible or impractical way of working. But it's not the first attempt to make huge shifts in people's work-life balance. Also from 2018, here's Kate Bell, one of Ed's former advisors, explaining why a 5-day week simply isn't set in stone.
In 1868, when the TUC was founded, the average working week was 62 hours, which is enormous.
That was demands... like working for me, basically. 1868 and 2010 to 2015.
2015, Ed Miliband.
Yeah.
So the 8-hour working day was a really kind of key demand for the early trade union.
And when
movement.
Would that have... That was in the early 20th century.
Yeah, and kind of the late 19th century. It's really interesting. The first International Labour Organization convention was actually on working hours. And the 8-hour day has got this kind of really nice history where it was 8 hours for work, 8 hours for leisure, and 8 hours for sleep. But that was hard won. And even kind of by the middle of the century, kind of around the Second World War, many, many people were still working 6 days a week.
And you've talked to the workforce about what they want to see.
Absolutely. And again, if we get this productivity boom from new technology, what should we do with it? So we asked people, ideally, how many days a week would you work if you could maintain your living standards? And it's really important to say, you know, we're not suggesting that people drop their pay. And it's quite interesting. Most people said 4 days a week. So, you might think that people just go, well, I'll work 1 day a week, please.
And it's because people option. Feel that's realistic. They might get 4 days a week.
I mean, there might be something in that. But you can also see some interesting stuff. The CIPD, who kind of represent HR professionals, did some work and they said the average person wants to work 5 hours a week less, but there was a quarter of people who wanted to be working 10 hours a week less. So somewhere between there you get to kind of this idea that, you know, our working time could be a bit shorter.
And to some extent, if you think about the changes that have happened over the last couple of decades, a lot of things have become so much easier. People, to some extent, are some people just sort of killing time at work?
Actually, we have some recent evidence saying that people are actually working more intensely than ever before. And I think one of the really interesting things about like the last wave of technology we've had is it has intensified working life. You know, you're more easily contactable when you're not at work,
right.
But it hasn't led to an increase in productivity. So, you know, the amount we produce per hour has flatlined for the last decade or so. We've had this big wave of technological progress, not an increase in productivity. But what the hope is, the optimism, is that the next wave of technological change will actually make us more efficient. We talked about increased productivity might enable us to reduce working hours, but maybe reducing working hours would enable us to increase productivity.
Still to come, does a four-day week really work? I will tell you what think tank Autonomy learned when 61 British companies took place in the trial of the four-day week and how many of them have decided to stick with it. But before that, how do you sell the idea? Back in 2020, we spoke to researcher Rachel Kay and Will Strong about the lessons we should learn from previous attempts to implement a shorter work week.
Something useful, I think, for me to learn was that people actually in a country where a lot of people are really struggling to get by,
yes,
working time reduction is not their priority.
It sounds like pie in the sky, doesn't it?
If you're struggling economically, you want to be paid more. You don't want to have shorter hours, even if you keep the same wage. So I think that is an important point, that actually countries that have more equality and less low-paid work are going to be more receptive.
Having done some reading about this recently, actually one fact which you may find fascinating or not, do you know why football matches are at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday?
I don't.
It's because of the 1850 Factory Act mandating that the factories would finish at 2 p.m.
Is that right?
Yes. And it was sort of to create, there was this thing called Saint Monday, which was basically a day off, a kind of non-mandatory anarchic day off that people would have, but they'd just be so exhausted by the end of the week. And it was partly to get rid of Saint Monday that they were given half a day on Saturdays. Anyway, that's why football. But the question I was going to ask, rather than that sort of historical digression, was the gains that were made historically were in manufacturing. And it's easy to see how you go from in the pin factory making 100 pins an hour to 200, and you can raise productivity. In services, it's much more complicated. If you think about care services for elderly people, it's not about accelerating care for elderly people or doing twice as much of it in half the time. That's not what you want.
Yeah, I think there is space for productivity gains, but it's a bit harder to see. For example, in social care, you can use automation technologies to automate schedules for carers, and that would actually help to save a lot of time.
Right.
But the question is, you know, would it be enough time to actually make a difference, a major difference?
I mean, just on terms of the lessons of the past, it was the state taking action, unions.
Yeah.
They're the two big drivers. Is that correct? So you need action by the state, but power is important too, isn't it? Power in the workplace and so on. But it seems like everyone talks in Britain about productivity falling off a cliff, but the working hours stopped falling even as productivity was quite high. So it feels like power in the workplace is part of it.
Yeah, I think that's a really important lesson to learn from history. Actually, it's really about this power balance between the employer and the employee.
The moral of the story is, as Rachel was basically implying, is that working time was an issue way before this last election, and it's going to be an issue way into the future. Working hours was in chapter 10 of Marx's Capital. It was an issue from day one of industrialism, shortening the working hours and giving ourselves more time and freedom. And that's taken different forms of that struggle, that kind of movement has taken different forms. And one election cycle is not going to end that.
Will Strong there, Director of Research at think tank Autonomy, who published the results of a trial of the four-day week earlier this year. 3,000 workers from 61 UK companies took part, making it the world's biggest four-day week experiment to date. Here's what they found. It's good for employees' work-life balance. People working in those companies reported it was easier to balance their work with their family and social commitments, and that's good for business too. Following the pandemic, staff retention has become more difficult, and the number of employees leaving these companies dropped by 57% during the trial period. It's also beneficial for people's health and well-being. Many employees were less stressed, and 71% had reduced levels of burnout at the end of the trial. Levels of anxiety, fatigue, and sleep issues all decreased too. And out of those 61 companies taking part, only 5 of them have decided to drop the idea. 56 of those businesses found the 4-day week to be such a positive experience that they've decided to continue with it, and 18 of those have already made it a permanent change. So where does this go next? The results of this trial have been remarkably positive, and many participants have expressed no desire to go back to old ways of working. 15% of employees in the trial said that no amount of money would make them go back to 5 days a week. No surprise there. Germany and Portugal have just announced pilot projects, and in November 2022, Belgium became the first European country to legislate for an optional four-day week. However, unlike the UK-based pilot, workers would have to condense a full work week of hours into 4 days. While the benefits of a shorter working week are now well evidenced, it might not be an automatic solution for all companies, especially in customer-facing industries. But the overwhelmingly positive results from the trial can give us hope that there is an alternative vision for the world of work, as well as a potential solution to Britain's productivity puzzle. Your takeaway cheerful nuggets wrapped up and ready to go. Number one. The four-day week isn't about doing more work in less time for less pay. Research has now shown that reducing working hours for the same amount of pay could make people more productive across the working week. Two, it is clear that the four-day week makes for happier and healthier employees, with people feeling more able to balance their work with their other commitments and being able to spend more time with family and discover new interests. And three, it could be good for the country and the climate too. A four-day week would lead to a reduction in carbon emissions from transport usage. It could create up to 500,000 new jobs, and it could lead to better levels of gender equality, with the unpaid labour typically undertaken by women getting better distributed. I'll be back with Ed on Monday for a brand new episode of Reasons to be Cheerful. We'd love to hear from you. Find us on social media or through our website, cheerfulpodcast.com. I'm Jeff Lloyd, and written and produced by Rachel Barmer, this has been Reasons Revisited.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.